Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 134 for the December 2018 previews. Now, in this episode, we'll be going through some of the items and previews you might find interesting. Now, these episodes have an open submission policy. Now, what that means is anyone can send in clips, and that's how we find out what's interesting. I encourage you to send in clips as often as you can to promote the comics you love, because it's a great way to share your love of comics, it's a great way to get people interested in those comics, it helps them sell, and if they sell better, they'll stick around longer. There are thousands of items and previews each and every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. As always, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews and working our way to the back, diving into the DC previews when its turn in the catalog comes up, same with the Marvel previews. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights, and again, you listeners get to pick the highlights. So with that, let's get going. My first pick is on page 26, and it is the previews catalog. It's the previews number 365 for February 2019. I like previews because it helps me determine what to get, and these days, what not to get. I've, since the last preview spotlight, cut back substantially. Matter of fact, my last order wound up being about half what I had said it was going to be when I recorded this episode last time. And going through previews helped me both last month and certainly this month. Matter of fact, last night as I record this, I went through cover to cover and made a couple of decisions. A few things made it on the list, a few things made it off the list. And it's just a great way to determine what's out there and what's right for you. Because what's right for me may not be right for you and vice versa. Matter of fact, there's going to be one or two clips in a little bit on this episode where I think my opinion on something and somebody else's are radically different. And that's cool. The great thing about comics is there's something there for everybody. It's just a matter of finding the right thing for you, and hopefully these episodes help with that. Certainly for me, the previews catalog is instrumental in that. So it's on page 26. If you order at Cowabunga and you get over $100, you get it for free. If not, you can find the solicits online. All the information is put together for previews, so you probably wouldn't have all that information if it wasn't for previews, whether you get it or not. But I do think if you've never checked out previews, pick it up 1 month, flip through it, see what you think.
Hey, this is James. I go by JR Phoenix on the forums, and I am your co-host for the Weekly Comic Spotlight, and I'm here for the preview spotlight, my first pick for the December previews for things coming out in February, and the one I'm looking at first is actually the first solicit we see on page 34 in Image Comics, and I'm looking at Sharky the Bounty Hunter, the writer Mark Miller, so this is another Netflix property. And the artist is Simone Bianchi. And I'm going to read you a little bit about this because it's a brand new, it's a 6-issue thing by Mark Miller. He always does 6-issue arcs. That's kind of his thing. But it's a brand new property. It says, set in the brilliant new sci-fi universe, Sharky is a blue-collar bounty hunter who tracks criminals across the galaxy and is converted rocket-powered ice cream truck. Aided and abetted by his 10-year-old partner, he's out for the biggest bounty of his career. Now, I don't know. This seems different. Seems weird. I looked at the art in here. The art looks good. There's not a ton of stuff on it. But Mark Miller, he's come out with some good stuff. I really liked his that magic one that I think it's called the Magic Order that he recently did. So here's another new property coming out by him. This will probably be a Netflix show. I'm sure it will be. And if you guys are into Mark Miller, or if you're into potential Netflix series in the future, check out Sharky the Bounty Hunter. And now on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with my next pick. And this one is actually, I guess you could call it a relaunch. It's not really a relaunch, but they're coming back with a number one. of a series that we should all be familiar with, all of us who read Mark Miller stuff. It's on page 38 in the previews catalog, and it's Hit Girl Season 2. Now, what Mark Miller did with Hit Girl and his kick-behind stories is he launched them, and he did the first 6 issues, and then he kind of passed the baton to other writers. And the other writers, I actually think, did a better job than him. And so, like, on the opposite page, on page 39, you see Hit Girl Volume 3, Rome. That one was written by Raphael Scavone. But here, for the Hit Girl Season 2, the one that I'm looking at, it's a gem of the month by the previous catalog. The writer is Kevin Smith. So Kevin Smith, I haven't seen him writing very much. So Kevin Smith, from the Comic Book Men fame and from his podcast, is coming back to write this Mark Miller property, a.k.a. Netflix property. And the artist is Pernil Oram. I'm probably butchering that name. But I want to see what Kevin Smith does with this character. If John is looking at getting this, it may be something we can review. I'm just not sure. I know John's limited his stuff. But if you're into Kevin Smith, and I have enjoyed some of the stuff he's done in the past in the comic world, you may want to jump in here. And this is a number one. It's a gem of the month. And I'm going to read you what it says here in the solicit. Our favorite adolescent assassin tears Tinseltown a new one when she realizes her life's being dramatized for the silver screen. Hit Girl storms sets, wages war on fat cat movie bosses, and lures old enemies out of the hiding in this California bloodbath. So it's probably going to be pretty brutal, but that's, you know, pretty much par for the course as far as Mark Miller properties. But sounds like it's something up my alley. If it sounds like something you'd enjoy, check it out. On to my next pick.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. My first pick in this month's previews comes in the Dark Horse section on page 87 with Umbrella Academy, Hotel Oblivion number 5, written by Gerard Way, with Gabriel Ba as the story, cover, and variant cover artist, with Nick Filardi colorist. On sale February 6th, full color, 32 pages for $3.99. And this is a mini-series. At the height of their popularity and adventuring, the Umbrella Academy had no idea their leader, Reginald Hargreaves, had created an off-world prison to house their worst opponents. Now, a few years after his death, Hargreaves' inhuman plan had gone terribly wrong, and the Umbrella Academy are not ready for Earth's nastiest villains. And a Netflix live-action series will premiere on February 15th, 2019, and I will certainly be watching that. What I like about Umbrella Academy and its two previous miniseries from a decade ago is that it fits in a superhero genre, but it's also very comfortable in the alternative comics realm. So I would recommend this title to anyone who likes either genre. Back to you, John, and I hope everyone in the States had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday.
This is X-Men Patrick with his very first pick. I am in the image section of the previews book, and I'm looking at Die number 3. So all we know about Die so far is, number one, it says it's about Goth Jumanji. Number two, it says it's about Goth with the black highlighter eroding the paper. So far for 3, for a description, we have Fantasy Heartbreaker Part 3, one of the saddest comics of Kieran's career, one of Stephanie's prettiest. Clayton's lettering, of course, remains impeccable. This looks pretty cool. It does remind me of the newer Jumanji movie. But it also reminds me of my childhood when I used to play D&D. All right, on to the next one.
Hey, it's Drew from the beautiful Hocking Hills of Ohio with my first pick for the preview spotlight. It is Unnatural number 7, and it turns out this is a 12-issue miniseries now. This is from Image. It's written in art drawers by Mirka Andolfo, a Italian creator who is awesome. She's great. Her art really is king in here. Really amazing stuff. Basically, the story is about love in a world where there's animals and you really can't marry outside of or date outside of your species. So there's some speciesist themes going on, and it's a fun story of someone who tries to break the rules in that world. I really like it. It's great. It's something you should check out. I'm sure the first trade is out now. Something to check out. I'm sure it's low priced. Or check out, just sample that first issue. You can probably still get that digitally if you'd like. But it's Unnatural, number 7, and it's a 12-issue miniseries in shops February 6th, and it is $3.99. Check that out, and check out my podcast, Comics for Fun and Profit, if you are so inclined.
Hey, John, this is Nick with my first pick for the month. It's from the Dark Horse section of the main previews catalog, page 91. And I'm looking at Lightstep number 405, written by Milos Slavkovich and Mirko Topolsky, with art by Slavkovich. I just got and read the first issue of this miniseries and really enjoyed it. Kind of an interesting sci-fi concept where the elite ruling class of the universe is living in a near light speed environment, while all of the lower class citizens live out life at a faster pace in farther outer reaches of the galaxy. So kind of just an interesting concept. And if you read that and enjoyed, looks like the story continues here. So pick it up. Yeah, $3.99 on sale in February.
Billy Hogan again. My second pick is still in the Dark Horse Comics section on page 97, with Black Hammer Age of Doom number 8, written by Jeff Lemire, with Dean Ormston, cover and story artist, Dave Stewart colorist, and Bill Sienkiewicz variant cover artist. On sale February 27th, which is going to be my son's birthday. It's a full color title, 32 pages for $3.99, and this is an ongoing issue. The Eisner Award-winning superhero saga returns. Coming off the heels of the world-shattering revelations of the last issue, the Black Hammer team all are out of their element, literally. Also available, Black Hammer Volume 1 Secret Origins for $14.99 and Black Hammer Volume 2 The Event for $19.99. I'm a big fan of the superhero genre, and what I enjoy about Black Hammer, along with a few other titles like Astro City or Invincible, is when comic book creators take the superhero genre and take it in directions that Marvel or DC can't or won't, because they also have to market their heroes for merchandising and adaption to movies, TV, and other medium. And with these alternative takes on the superhero genre, these creators can take their heroes in directions that otherwise we wouldn't get to enjoy, like the Black Hammer series. Back to you, John.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my pick from the Dark Horse section under the Burger Books section of Dark Horse on page 98, and it's The Girl in the Bay, written by J.M. DeMatteis and drawn by Corin Howell. All right, I'll read the solicitor and then I'll tell you why. In 1969, 17-year-old Kathy Sartori was brutally attacked, her body hurled into Brooklyn's Sheepshead Bay. Miraculously, she survives and fights her way back to the surface, only to discover that 50 years have passed and an eerie doppelganger has lived out an entire life in her place. Kathy soon confronts not just this strange double, but the madman who murdered her 5 decades earlier. Will he and the dark entity that lives inside him hold the key to Kathy's missing years? Or will Kathy become a ghost of herself, forced to live out what remains of her life on the edge of the world that she desperately wants to be a part of? For mature readers. Okay, J.M. DeMatteis, this is why I'm interested. But you know what? That solicit sounded really creepy and really cool there. Burger Books is sort of a new series of verticals, because I think her name's Karen Berger, helped create or sustain the Vertigo line for a long time for DC, and now she has her own heading under Dark Horse. But J.M. DeMatteis, or Mark DeMatteis, I think he's known by, is the reason I'm getting this. He is one of those writers who has been great for decades. Yes, decades. This guy's still in the comics biz, you know, many are not. And he has always been consistently weird and consistently intelligent and interesting. If you don't know his name, do you know the funny JLA era that you remember, the you know, punch out Guy Gardner in one shot by Batman era? He created Moon Shadow, which was a very interesting miniseries that was a precursor to Vertigo. Craven's Last Hunt. Remember that? Spider-Man, Craven's Last Hunt. He's a great writer, and he's been one of those rare great writers who has existed with consistency for decades. And so I will always give him a shot. I don't read everything he's done, but I'll always give him a shot. But this one looks really up his alley, and so I'm going to buy it, and I hope you do too.
This is X-Man Patrick, and I am in a DC Previews, page 5. Batman and the Flash cross paths again in the last cold case. Heroes in Crisis tie-in event. So I have been reading Heroes in Crisis, and I know not many of you guys are enjoying it, but I am more of a Marvel guy, and this is kind of like my get-to-know-these characters. So Batman 64 and 65. Flash 64 and Flash 65. I have been collecting Batman since the 40s, about. So like 46, 47, before the big marriage debacle. And this will be my first Flash comic ever. So the Heroes in Crisis event is pretty entertaining to me. I'm trying to figure out who did it. It reads, the two greatest detectives in DC Universe take on one cold case that will tear them apart. As chief architect of a sanctuary program that costs so much for so many, especially Wally West, Batman will be held accountable by the Flash. A cold case from the Justice League's past has mysteriously reopened, and Batman and the Flash, the only two heroes who stand a chance of cracking the case, are at each other's throats. Our heroes must combat a demon from the past while burying their own inner demons in the process, and neither the world's greatest detective nor the fastest man alive will ever be the same again. But who really is pulling the strings here? And how does Gotham Girl fit in all this? Friendships will be tested, and blood will be spilled in this titanic crossover event. I've seen crossover events before. I've collected Avengers versus X-Men, and they could get pretty messy with all the crossing over to this title, crossing over to that title. But it's nice that it's just crossing into the Flash, since it only has to deal with Batman and Flash. So I will be collecting my first Flash comic. All right, on to the next one.
My next pick is Batman number 64, and really all the rest of the cold case stuff, which is Flash 64, Batman 65, and Flash 65. We've already had a clip on this, so I won't go into too much detail. I'm not crazy about what they're doing in Heroes in Crisis, but I'm curious the ramifications, because it's basically going to be a major deciding point for me for the DC Universe of do I stay all in. I'm not all in anymore. I've cut back substantially, but am I still invested in the DC Universe or not? And this is going to be one of those kinds of stories that help me determine that. And at this point, I'm leaning towards not being as invested, because again, I feel some of what they've done was a bad choice. But the last time we had a crossover between Batman and Flash, spinning out of the DC Universe Rebirth, I thought it was a lot of fun. Didn't do as much progress as I was hoping, didn't do one or two of the things I was hoping, but it was cool, and I enjoyed it. So we'll see if this repeats that or not. So once again, that's the Heroes in Crisis tie-in event of The Last Cold Case, with Batman 64, Flash 64, Batman 65, Flash 65. Check it out. My next pick is on page 7 of the DC Previews, and it is Heroes in Crisis number 6. As I was saying on my last clip with the Cold Case tie-in, Heroes in Crisis is probably going to shape my opinion of the DC Universe for a little bit, because they're setting kind of the tone, the direction in where they're going with the DC Universe. And so far, I have been woefully unimpressed, but I'm looking forward to what they do here with Arsenal and really what direction they're going in. And this is promising to give us a deeper look at Sanctuary, what it is, what it's about, why it is, and that'll give me some insight as to what some of the people at DC are thinking. Not just Tom King, the writer, but the editors who approved this storyline and said, yeah, let's go in this direction. So for me, this is a bit of a referendum. It's part 6 of 9, but this one looks to be pivotal in terms of finally 6 issues in explaining the backstory of Sanctuary, which is about damn time, in my opinion. So like I said, Heroes in Crisis number 6, I'm going to be checking it out. For me, it's not just a matter of this issue, but again, a bit of a referendum on the universe itself.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with my pick from the DC section on page 9, and it's Wonder Twins, number 1. There's a theme in 2 of my picks this month. It's following writers that I like. What? Hey, Todd, what are you talking about? Usually it's Kirby this and Kirby that and Kelly Jones this and Planet of the Apes, Planet of the Apes and 70s comics. Now it's writers. Yes, I do read comic books for the writers. And I have a new modern favorite writer, and that's Mark Russell. Mark Russell, who created that fantastic Flintstones 12-issue run, I think it was 12 issues, a couple of years ago. He's doing a real fun Lone Ranger book. Here's what happens when I find a writer that I like a lot. I'll buy anything that they do until they disappoint me, even if it's something I'm not interested in. I'm never going to buy a Lone Ranger and Tonto book, but I bought his miniseries, read the first 2 issues. I love it. It's really quirky. Naturally, the Flintstones, I was never going to buy the Flintstones until I started hearing about it. And after that, I said, I got to see what this Mark Russell does in his career moving forward. And looks like he's going to do Wonder Twins. If you know Super Friends, you know the Wonder Twins. You probably figure, I ain't buying a Wonder Twins comic. That's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. But it's by Mark Russell. And so I'm buying Wonder Twins number 1. Art and cover by Stephen Byrne. Let's take a quick look at the solicit. Exiled from their home planet, alien heroes Zan and Jaina must navigate life as teens on Earth at South Metropolis High School, where they're even bigger outsiders than the typical awkward young adults. Under the watchful eye of Superman, the brother and sister pull monitor duty at the Hall of Justice as interns, while also trying to overcome the pitfalls of Zan's brash confidence and Jaina's shy but streetwise personality. If you think you know the Wonder Twins, think again. This book takes the form of the unexpected. That sounds horrible. That sounds horrible. Except written by Mark Russell. You know what? I bet you I'm going to love this book. Give it a try.
My next pick is on page 9 of the DC previews, and it is Wonder Twins number 1. Now, Todd just went over this, and he was really excited about Mark Russell and stuff, and otherwise he would not have gotten this. And that's cool. I respect that. Different things, different people. I grew up watching the Super Friends. Are the Wonder Twins kind of lame and cheesy? Yeah, but they're part of my childhood. They're not horrible characters. I think there's a lot that could be done with them, and I think bringing them into the DC Universe proper is a lot of fun. I want to see where they go with this. The art they show here, which is probably the variant cover. I don't know. Maybe it's I hope it's the regular cover, because I like the art. I want to see where they go with this. I want to see how they bring these characters into the DC Universe proper, although they've done that before in the past with, I think it was Extreme Justice, or maybe it was Young Justice. Anyways, they've been brought in a few times. I'm looking forward to them coming back, seeing where they go, and how they do it. Mark Russell's done some great work on some stuff. This may have a bit more attitude than I was originally expecting, but I think that's cool, so we'll see where they go. Once again, that's Wonder Twins number 1 on page 9 of the DC previews. Check it out.
Billy Hogan again. My third pick in this month's previews comes in the DC Comics insert on page 10 with Action Comics number 1008, written by Brian Michael Bendis, art and cover by Steve Epting, and variant cover by Isad Ribic. The superstar creative team of writer Brian Michael Bendis and artist Steve Epting dig into the DC universe in this sweeping espionage epic that's shattering the agencies and heroes dedicated to protecting the world. As the DEO falls, only Jimmy Olsen may hold the answers to helping Superman and Lois Lane uncover who's behind the attacks, rocking the DC Universe's biggest clandestine organizations. And when the Suicide Squad's Amanda Waller makes a shocking discovery, can she help the trio understand the truth behind the balance of power shifts to Leviathan forever? On sale February 27th, 2019, $3.99 for 32 pages. I'm looking forward to reading this issue because I'm enjoying Brian Michael Bendis' run. And with this issue, I'm curious if some of the other agencies like Cadmus are going to be included. Just looking at the art, it makes me wonder if Checkmate is going to be involved in the story also. So far, I'm enjoying Bendis' run and where he's taking the Man of Steel and his supporting cast. So I'm looking forward to Action Comics 1008. Back to you, John.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the DC Supplements section on page 25. It's Detective Comics issues 998 and 999. It's written by Peter J. Tomasi, art and covers by Doug Monkey and Jamie Mendoza. Now, I'm not going to read the solicit, but basically, you know, it seems like, you know, Batman is in this huge battle, you know, that'll either, you know, strengthen him at the end or weakened him at the end. And it all leads up to Detective Comics 1000. So basically, that's why I'm picking up this, you know, these, actually I've been picking up this series for the last 2 years. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Detective Comics issues 998 and 999. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
All right, this is Alan Bowman, Alien Al 121 on the forums, living in Japan, and here I am with my first pick in this month's preview spotlight. First, I'm in the DC section, and I'm on page 33 of the catalog, and I'm talking about Harley Quinn, number 58. Written by Sam Humphries, art by John Timms, variant cover by Derek Chu. Implicated in a crime she didn't commit, Harley Quinn must prove her innocence by teaming up with the Cape Crusader himself, Batman. But can the clown princess of crime and the Dark Knight coexist long enough to solve a murder? Or will the two frenemies end up being the death of each other? $3.99, 32 pages. This issue will ship with two covers. Actually, I'm already liking the cover I see on the solicit, which is like a takeoff on the Dark Knight Returns, which instead of the Robin, they have Harley there. And this is just a heads up to those Batman fans who might have missed this, that Batman is going to be appearing in Harley Quinn. Back in the old days, this would have increased the price of the issue. I'm not sure it does that anymore. But anyway, I'm going to get it. I was reading Harley Quinn maybe for the first, 15 issues since Rebirth. But I kind of got bored with it, so I just dropped it. But this is a good time to come back just because Batman's in it. I'm a Batman fan. Why not? Okay, on to the next pick.
This is Dr. Mo with another pick for the previews spotlight episode. It's Justice League Dark number 8 from DC Comics. Lords of Order Part 1. Wonder Woman and the Justice League Dark are in a race against time as the other kind cross in on the rest of the magical community. With the world's magic failing, the team needs to rally the magic welders of Earth together. But can they face down Dr. Fate and his newly assembled Lords of Order? Now, this arc, it appears to be picking up from plot point in the first arc involving Dr. Fate. And I'm not going to spoil what happens in that initial storyline, but I will say Dr. Light's not necessarily a friend of the team right now. I think that Justice League Dark is the most intriguing of the three current Justice League titles. I think that it's a very eclectic mix of characters, but somehow Wonder Woman is like this unifying force that draws these characters together. And I think, believe Tinian is taking an approach that's somewhat similar to his Team Batman run on Detective Comics. He had a unifying figure in Batman, and in this case, it's Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is surrounded by characters such as Zatanna, who have a long history with the Justice League, albeit in another continuity. Also, Swamp Thing, Detective Chimp, who I think is undergoing a bit of a renaissance right now. I love the fact that this title has referenced characters, plot points, such as the Oblivion Bar from the old Shadow Pack series that Bill Willingham did, and I believe Tom DeRennick did a bit of the artwork on that series, which was about 10 years ago. So you don't necessarily need to have read Shadow Pack in order to understand Justice League Dark. However, having that knowledge does enrich this experience, especially when they are talking about past relationships. And I think James Tynion really does a good job of exploiting this. So I am intrigued about this next story arc. I will say that the Witching Hour crossover I thought was a little bit long. However, what it did was it injected and it really opened the door to a lot more magical users that could be brought onto the team. And it's kind of, again, what Tinian did on Detective Comics. He is some of his arcs, he introduced other characters who may have later joined the team, but right now we haven't had a changing of the guard per se on this Justice League Dark team. But I am looking forward to seeing Tinian's long-term story plans with this team. I think if you want a Justice League team that's non-traditional, it is very different than this team is similar, but very different than the previous Justice League Dark team that was formed at the beginning of the New 52. I don't think you could go wrong by reading this Justice League title, especially if you're interested in the magical side of the DC universe. Again, Justice League Dark number 8 can be found in the DC section of previews on page 38 and costs $3.99.
This is Nick with a pick from the DC special catalog for this month from page 38. It is Justice League Dark number 8, written by James Tynion, and art and cover by Alvaro Martinez Bueno and Raul Fernandez. The title for this new story arc beginning here is Lords of Order. And the solicitation reads, Wonder Woman and the Justice League Dark are in a race against time as the other kind close in on the rest of the magical community. With the world's magic failing, the team needs to rally the magic wielders of Earth together. But can they face down Dr. Fate and his newly assembled Lords of Order? So if you're a fan of Justice League Dark, this is beginning a new story arc. And if you are, like me, a fan of Dr. Fate and that little corner of the DC universe, this one's definitely one to pick up. $3.99, available in February.
It's Drew again with a pick from DC this time, and it's Scooby Apocalypse number 34. This is a Giffen and De Matteis book, really inventive, fun, with the characters you recognize in a post-apocalyptic setting. If you'd have told me, hey, Drew, you'll be reading 34 straight issues of Scooby Apocalypse, I'd have laughed in your face, but that is exactly what's happened. I haven't missed one. In fact, it's probably the top of the stack from DC. I read it before I read Batman, so I really like it. It's in shops February 13th. It's $3.99. It's a lot of fun, and you should check that out if you haven't.
This is Nick with another pick from the DC special catalog, Shazam number 3 from page 47, written by Jeff Johns with art and cover by Dale Eaglesham. The description reads, as Shazam and the Seven Realms continues, Billy Batson's world is turned upside down by a figure from the past, while Mary, Freddy, and the rest of the Shazam family enter a realm of endless amusements, candy factories, and friends in the Funlands. But what's the catch? Plus, a shocking development within the Library of Eternity. And the front cover here has a picture of Mr. Mind melting Shazam in a vat of acid or a cauldron or something. So, should be pretty interesting.
Billy Hogan again. My fourth pick is still in the DC Comics insert on page 52 with Superman number 8, written by Brian Michael Bendis, art by Ivan Reis, Joe Prado, and Brandon Peterson. Cover by Ivan Reis and Joe Prado. Variant cover by Rob Liefeld. The epic secrets of Superman continue to unfold. A few months in space with his paternal grandfather Jor-El changed John Kent forever. With John now seeking help from his father, the Man of Steel must learn about the war his son and father fought together and set right the wrongs his father may have unleashed on other worlds. See what changed Superboy in such radical ways as the Unity Saga continues. On sale February 13th, 2019 for $3.99, and this comic book is 32 pages. I just received issue 5 yesterday from my latest shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, so I haven't had a chance yet to read it, and looking at the art with this solicit, it looks like Jonathan has been aged into a teenager, which I was hoping wouldn't be the case, but it's not a deal breaker, because I've enjoyed where Brian Michael Bendis and the rest of the creative team have been taking Superman and his supporting cast. So I'm looking forward to seeing how Bendis and the rest of the team have changed John, and who knows, maybe I'll like it. Back to you, John.
This is Dr. Moe with another pick from the DC section of previews. It's The Wildstorm, number 20, Warren Ellis's reimagining of Jim Lee's Wildstorm universe continues as we are in the final phase of this epic 24-part storyline. Warren Ellis, throughout this entire endeavor, has done a wonderful job of reimagining these characters, providing a bit more depth when it comes to some of these characters. And like on the Wildcats, this is a much more stripped-down version of Wildcats, what we're getting in the pages of the Wildstorm. And they very much feel like the special ops covert team, not a X-Men light team as they were presented back in the 90s. The artwork by John Davis Hunt is extraordinary. Warren Ellis and John Davis Hunt enjoy doing the nine panel grid. The level of violence in this book times resembles what you would get in a Robert Kirkman book. So if you do like a bit of the ultra violence of Robert Kirkman, The Wildstorm may be for you. I would not recommend this particular issue for those of you who are just jumping on board without knowledge of the characters. I think that if you are intrigued by this title at this stage, I suggest you pick up a trade of the first arc or certainly previous arc to kind of get a sample of what's going on, because we're at the endgame stage. And this is for those fans of Warren Ellis, those fans of the Wildstorm properties. You cannot go wrong if you're looking for a really good Warren Ellis book. This is probably the best Warren Ellis book that is on the stands right now. I dare say it's even better than the work he was doing on Moon Knight for Marvel a couple years ago. The Wildstorm, number 20, can be found in the DC section of previews on page 57.
Hey, this is James. I'm back with my next pick, and this time I'm in the DC Supplemental. And for the first time, I'm not looking at Omnibus. I'm actually looking on page 58, where we have Wonder Woman numbers 64 and 65. And the reason why I'm going back to Wonder Woman, recently they had a writer change. When Wonder Woman first came out and they had Greg Rucka on it, it was really good. Then they went through a few writers. Things went from okay, good at times, to pretty darn bad. G. Willow Wilson came on, I guess it was probably a month or two ago, and G. Willow Wilson seems to have turned a corner with the Wonder Woman title, and so I want to show it some love because she's actually a skilled writer. She's been writing Ms. Marvel over at Marvel, and now she's over here at Wonder Woman, and I think she's revitalized the character and made her interesting again. So, once again, written by G. Willow Wilson, the art by Jesus Marino. And these are two issues, and just for those of you who are collectors, there's variant covers by Stanley Art Jim Lau that I've been getting those, the cover Bs, and there's no extra charge for it. I'll go ahead and read you the solicits. There's a god in Veronica Kale's basement, and it's not happy. As the Olympian Pantheon begins to be reborn around the globe, each one could become a deadly weapon in the right hands. Unfortunately for Wonder Woman, the literal god of grudges, grievances, and gripes is in the clutches of her most virulent foe. And in issue 65, if you've asked Wonder Woman who her nemesis is, she might say Veronica Kale. And now Veronica has powers of an actual god, nemesis, under her control. Some of the resurrected Olympians whom Wonder Woman has encountered have changed in unpredictable ways. Is there a crack in Nemesis's armor that Diana can get back through? Or will she miss the chance to redeem yet another of her divine brethren? Maybe Sam be interesting to you, may not. But what I can tell you is G. Willow Wilson is writing this character a heck of a lot better than Steve Orlando did. So Wonder Woman almost got dropped from my pull list, but her being on here has brought me back around. So if it sounds like something you'll enjoy, go ahead and give Wonder Woman another try if you've fallen off. It's actually gotten pretty good. On to my next pick.
This is X-Men Patrick, and I am in the IDW section of previews, page 132. I'm looking at the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 91. Writer Tom Waltz and Kevin Eastman, and the artist Michael Dannis. I butchered that last name. I've been reading Ninja Turtles for probably the past 2 months now, and it's something pretty new and different I haven't read before. So Karai returns to New York City and means business. Will she come to Splinter and Ninja Turtles seeking peace or war? A pivotal turning point, probably a new arc. So this comic book is pretty cool. It's not the same superheroes that I normally read. And I learned a lot about Karai through the cartoons recently that were on TV, not this Rise of Ninja Turtles stuff. I can't stand that art. But it reminds me of my childhood when I was watching cartoons in the 90s. All right, on to the next one.
My next pick is on page 135 of the previews catalog. It is Star Trek Discovery, Captain Saru. Now, I think IDW's been doing a terrific job with the Star Trek property in general, and I'll be honest, some of the Discovery stuff we've been getting of late in comics hasn't really wowed me, but I like Saru as a character. I want to see where they go on this storyline with it, and while I wasn't totally in love with the tone, the direction of Star Trek Discovery, some of the characters were pretty cool, him being one of the main ones. I think the actor did a terrific job with the role and making him seem suitably alien yet approachable. 48-page comic, they'll have plenty of room to tell a good story. They've got $7.99 cover price that I'm not crazy about. But again, we're getting over twice the page count of a regular comic for only twice the cost, which isn't too bad of a deal. So I'm looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun, and hopefully it'll tide me over until that next Discovery series starts, or maybe it'll have started by then. Don't know. Anyways, I'm excited about it. Once again, that's Star Trek Discovery, Captain Saru on page 135. Check it out.
And this is Alan once again, Alien Al121 on the forums, and I believe the Slack channel. And I'm here with my next pick. This time I'm in the IDW section on page 157, and my pick is League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Tempest. Number 5. The solicit reads, ostensibly a chief British reprint of pre-cold American horror, this penultimate stop on Moore and O'Neill's pyrotechnic farewell tour takes us from the tortured mind of artist Richard Dead to a London swallowed by darkness, from a spectacular 3D struggle in the blazing world to some jaw-dropping vengeance in Vauxhall, and a conclusion that is out of this world. Meanwhile, our 7 stars finally come face to face with the writhing mess with the monstrous menace of the mass, while providing origins for both Satan Astro and the Flash Avenger. Don't miss the never-to-be-repeated cavalcade of wonders that is the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Volume 4, The Tempest. All right, boy, that was hard to get through. Pretty sure I butchered some of the pronunciation there, but it's okay. I've been enjoying, I think I have the first 2 issues, been enjoying it, including the kind of homage to the Legion of Superheroes on page 2 of issue 2. And so I'm looking forward to seeing this one when it comes in my DCBS shipment. All right, that's all for my second pick. On to the next one.
Billy Hogan again. My 5th pick comes this time in the IDW Top Shelf section on page 157 with The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Volume 4, The Tempest, number 5 of 6. Written by Alan Moore, story and cover artist Kevin O'Neill. Since another member of the forum is also picking this issue, I'll spare you having to listen to the solicit twice. I began reading The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen after the 3rd volume, titled Black Dossier, was published, and I've been keeping up with it ever since, and I've gone back and gotten the earlier editions I missed when they were originally published, and I've been a big fan ever since. I've enjoyed reading how Alan Moore and Kevin O'Neill have taken literary figures as well as pop culture figures from comic books and elsewhere, and made a very interesting world. This is the next-to-last issue of the final League of Extraordinary Gentlemen miniseries that Moore and O'Neill have said that they will publish. So after the conclusion of this series, I'm just going to have to get all of the other editions out and read the whole series from beginning to end, which is going to be a lot of fun, which is why I recommended this issue, because it steps beyond the superhero genre and creates a fantastical, magical world that we can enjoy. Back to you, John.
Hey, this is James back with a pick that is very special to me. Last month we had Conan come back to Marvel. Made me so happy. It just brought happiness to my heart. This is one of my favorite comics growing up as a kid. This and war comics were my thing. So now we have in the December issue of Previews, the Marvel Supplemental on page 4, another Marvel comic coming back, the Conan comic specifically, Savage Sword of Conan, number 1. The writer of this one is Jerry Dugan, and the artist is Ron Garney, and they have some beautiful artwork in here, some interior artwork, to give you an idea of what it's going to look like. It looks very nice. The covers look beautiful. They have tons of variant covers, so those are very nice as well. Covers all the way from Alex Ross, the main one, to Kevin Eastman, Ron Garney, George Perez, you know, Raza, I don't even know who that is, but I'm sure. Sure, they're a great artist, whoever that is. This thing is really good. Now, the Savage Sword of Conan, I have one gripe here. It used to be a magazine. It was a black and white magazine, and it was the racier version of Conan. I mean, you would have things from you basically have nudity to a little saltier language to a little more graphic violence, because the Comic Code Authority didn't apply to black and white magazines. So now, over here, they're actually doing it in a comic, but it does say it's for mature readers, so we'll see how mature they go with this. I'm going to read you a little bit about this. This is issue one that's coming out in February, and they actually show issue two, so you're probably going to get two issues that first month of February. And what it says on here is, "Adrift at sea, no food, no weapons. Death surely awaits him. But the lion-hearted Conan is not so easily subdued by Crom. When Conan finds himself captured, he unleashes his might on an unsuspecting pirate crew, one whose dark secrets will plunge Conan on the trail of the ancient treasure that may prove to be his undoing. An all-new age of Savage Sword of Conan begins with a five-part tale of sword and sorcery." And that goes on by Jerry Dugan, blah, 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 and the cover's Alex Ross. Hope you survived the experience, which is nice. Welcome back to the Hyborian Age. So I'm so excited for this. I'm so happy that Conan's back, even though he's not here until January. I'm just looking forward to the anticipation. There's also Conan the Barbarian number 3 coming out that's solicited right after these two. But you guys need to jump on Conan and check it out. I think the main Conan story will probably be a little bit better because it's Jason Aaron as the writer. But I'm on board for both of them. We'll see who's the better writer, Jerry Dugan or Jason Aaron. Okay, and on to my next pick. Hey, this is James back with my next pick. And this one, once again, is in the Marvel Supplemental, and I am over on page 12, where I'm looking at something that was near and dear to my heart not that long ago. John and I reviewed some of these issues. I think we reviewed the last one, and I think the first one, I honestly can't remember. But I'm looking at Avengers No Road Home, number 1 of 10. Now, I'm going to tell you something weird about this, but and then what I really like about it. Okay, what I really, 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 really like about it is Marvel took these writers. You have Al Ewing, Jim Zub, Mark Waid, and the artist is Paco Medina. And I'm surprised because Paco Medina is doing the art on the first 3 issues. So maybe he got pulled aside and he did all 10 issues. I'm not sure, but this is a weekly book. Marvel did weekly with the Avengers a while back. I think it was around issue 684 or 680. I can't remember. On the workup to issue number 700. And each one of those desperate or different Avenger books, they were kind of horrible. They brought these writers together. They worked together as a team. And they came out with a heck of an Avengers story. It was like the Marvel Superheroes Contest of Champions. And John and I reviewed it. We both loved it. We gave it like A's, I believe. We both gave it A's or A minuses. And great, great writing. So they said, that was so good. Let's get the team back together again. Literally all the same people. And by the way, covered by Yasmin Putri. That's the main cover. She's a great artist out of Indonesia. Great, great artist. So I love her stuff. And so they're coming back with another 10-issue weekly series that will probably be as amazing, if not, you know, I'm hoping it lives up to the old one because it was just really, 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 really good. I think they're not going to, I'm not going to read the solicits because it's 3 different ones. They're showing the first 3 issues here. But there is one thing I'm going to tell you, and this is a thing that kind of, I don't know what the heck they're doing. So with issue number 1 of 10, it says at the bottom on the solicits here, Legacy 708. Well, what the heck is that? Legacy 708. I go to number 2 is Legacy 709. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. It's a legacy. It's the Avengers. But then if you go later on in the Marvel's previews, there's Avengers number 14 and 15, which are no longer Legacy this and Legacy that. It's the build-up to the Realm of King's War, or whatever the heck it was. I can't remember. Or War of the Realms. That's what it is. War of the Realms. I'm giving you the wrong thing. I think that's over on page 49. 49 is the Thor thing. Somewhere in there. It's coming. 45 and 44 are the Avengers issues. Those are no longer Legacy. So I don't like that they're breaking off this 10 issues and going with the Legacy number over here while having the main Avengers series no longer have that Legacy numbering. It just kind of irritates me, irks me. But once again, let's not hold it against the writers. This will be probably a great story, and I am on board. I think John and I should look at reviewing this in the future because it looks like something that'll be really cool, and we like the pairing of all these writers before. So let's see what they come up with this time. And on to my next pick.
My next pick is on page 12 of the Marvel previews, and we just heard James talking about it. It's No Road Home, or Avengers No Road Home, 1 of 10. As he said, we both read the first storyline they did this way of No Surrender. It was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Voyager's coming back. Wade, Zub, Ewing, they did a great job on the writing. Paco Medina, fun art. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully they recapture the magic of that storyline, tell a really good 10-part storyline that's got plot progression every issue and payoff, and should be pretty cool. So once again, that is Avengers No Road Home, number 1 of 10 on page 11 of the Marvel Previews. Check it out.
It's Drew with a pick from Marvel, and this is Daredevil's reboot, Daredevil number 1. That will be in stores February 6th, and it's $4.99, of course. An extra buck. They got to gouge it when they can. I'm excited about this because it's Chip Zdarsky doing the writing, and his stuff has been fantastic over at 2-in-1 and Spectacular and all the other stuff he's been doing for Marvel. So I'm really excited about this. I loved Daredevil back when it was Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. Less so when Charles Soule was at the helm. But I'm willing to hop back in here and check this out now that Zdarsky's taking over. Got Marco Cicchetto doing the art, so that should be nice. So it's a good jumping on point, I'm assuming. It is a number one after all. So check out Daredevil number 1 from Marvel.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel Supplements section on page 22. It's the Dazzler number 1 facsimile edition. Now, it's written by Tom DeFalco, pencils by John Romita Jr., cover by Bob Larkin. Now, I'm not going to read the solicit. I'm going to pick this up basically more for nostalgia purposes. First off, I remember picking up the original Dazzler number 1 when it came out back in, back in the 19... This was, I remember Dazzler making her first appearance in the Uncanny X-Men series. And, you know, at that time, it's like, wow, Dazzler is getting her own comic book. I gotta go pick it up. And John Romita Jr. at that time, you know, was an, up-and-coming artist, and his artwork, you know, was pretty good. So, you know, again, like I said, I'm picking this comic book up just for nostalgic purposes, you know, for you younger listeners, you know, if you guys want to get a taste of, you know, what the late 70s and early 80s time period was, this is the perfect example. You know, this is the perfect comic to pick up to, you know, take a peek inside this like little time capsule issue. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Dazzler number 1 facsimile edition. Thank you for listening.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with a pick from the Marvel catalog on page 25, Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal Comics, number 1. This is part of the Marvel 80-year celebration, and I don't know what the heck Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal are, other than it's got an interesting cover of a cartoon pig and a cartoon seal about to go over a waterfall in a canoe while looking at a map of Latveria. And it's got some very generic bullet points. Once they were superstars of the funny animal comedy circuit. Now money and fame have ruined their friendship. Will it ruin their lives? Well, hey, Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal. I don't even know if they even existed. I'm going to assume they existed back in the early days of Marvel, because why would they be doing this one shot? But the main reason I'm interested is I love these interesting looking solicits where I have no idea what they are, and it's only one issue. So, you know what? Hang on a second. Okay, I'm back. I just looked them up. They existed back in the 40s. They were in their own series. They jumped around in some other series, actually created by Al Jaffe. Al Jaffe, people, you young uns, look him up. Al Jaffe and Stan Lee. Apparently what happened is that Stan Lee asked Al to create a funny animal, and Al Jaffe created Silly Seal, and then Stan said, hey, let's give him a friend. And Al Jaffe said, hey, Stan, I already created a friend named Ziggy Pig. And Stan said, great, do it. And they became Ziggy Pig and Silly Seal. So thank you, Al Jaffe and Stan Lee. I think this is going to be fun. And if it isn't, it's only a one shot. I recommend people give it a chance.
X-Men Patrick here, and I am in the Marvel sections of previews. I am looking at page 34 with Uncanny X-Men number 11 and 12. The writer is Matthew Rosenberg. Salvador LaRocca is the artist. So this is a special oversized issue becoming the norm with Marvel here. So is that hefty price tag of $7.99. I am an X-Men fanatic. I love this stuff. So I'll read you the description. After the devastating events of X-Men Disassembled, it falls to Cyclops to rebuild the X-Men in the face of overwhelming hatred. Thankfully, he's not the only X-Men to have just returned from oblivion. Scott and Logan are together again, and they are mankind's only hope. Writer Matthew Rosenberg and returning superstar artist Salvador LaRocca lead the X-Men into the darkest hour and beyond. Oh, the art looks pretty cool on the cover here. It's probably by Salvador LaRocca, too. So far, Uncanny X-Men is pretty cool. I'm waiting for the best X-Men to get into it, you know, Gambit. I'm hoping it turns back into, you know, the early books where you only have one team and not 50 pages of 50 comics of different X-Men. Oh, wait, if you turn back, you'll see different X-Men. I'm really interested is because now you're returning more of the core characters like Cyclops, Jean Grey, Wolverine, Storm, Colossus, Rogue, Gambit. This is the X-Men I grew up with. Beast, you know, it would be pretty cool to see just those main people in there and not a bunch of sub-characters that no one really cares for unless they're going to do it like the Star Trek and that's the guy that dies. Alright, on to the next one. X-Men Patrick here, and I am still in the Marvel catalog of previews. I am on page 38, and I'm looking at Hulkverines number 1 of 3, The Clash You've All Been Waiting For. Writer Greg Pak, artist Ario Anedito, cover by Greg Land and Frank DiArmada. Alright, at last, it's Weapon H versus his predecessors, Wolverine and the Hulk. Once the Weapon X program sought to recreate the world's two greatest hunters, they ended up with Weapon H, a man of adamantium claws and gamma-juiced blood. Now, Wolverine and the Hulk are back in action, and they're coming after the dangerous creation made in their name. I have been reading The Immortal Hulk, which is one of my favorite comics. I am reading The Return of Wolverine, and I have been gobbling up all the Weapon H I can get because who doesn't love Hulk and Wolverine mixed together? But this looks like this could spell the end for Hulkverine. The art looks great. I love Greg Pak's writing of Weapon H. I'm hoping that after these three issues, maybe Weapon H could still be a part of the universe. But if not, I hope he goes out with a bang. All right, on to my next one.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel Supplements section. Now, if you guys would join me on pages 41, 42, and 43, it's the Captain Marvel True Believers Month. Now, I know that the Captain Marvel trailer has just dropped recently, but I just want to point this out to you guys because these are some great True Believers issues that are coming out for Captain Marvel. You know, on page 41, you know, the classic Ms. Marvel number 1. I remember that. Again, this is kind of bad, but I remember that when that hit the stands, I want to say probably in the late 70s, early 80s, I remember seeing that issue. And I'll be honest with you, I can't remember if I picked up... No, I think I did, because the Scorpion's on the cover. I did pick up that issue, and I did read it. Or that Marvel's team of Spider-Man and Ms. Marvel. Now, that's a classic story. That looks pretty good, especially when they're fighting the Super Skrull. That's really great. Now, I'm also flipping over to page 42, and I remember, you know, that Uncanny X-Men cover. If I remember correctly... I pretty much did probably pick up that issue as well, too, and read that. But also on page 43, I mean, you know, when Ms. Marvel was with the Avengers, I mean, we're looking at the classic Avengers 183 on page 43. You know, that was a classic story. So, you know, if you guys get a chance, you know, pick up some of these, you know, these real classic you know, Captain Marvel stories. And also, too, of course, you know, the classic Captain Marvel True Believers issue everyone should be picking up is on page 43. It's the King Size Annual Avengers number 10. Why is this significant? It's introduction of Rogue. Now, I know the focus is on Captain Marvel this month, but I mean, you know, the introduction of Rogue. I remember, you know, picking up that story. I remember Michael Golden's art was outstanding in that issue. So again, you know, if you guys get a chance, when these Captain Marvel True Believers comes out, if you guys get a chance, you know, pick up some of these issues. You know, there's some great stories in here. You know, thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
This is Dr. Mo with some additional picks for the preview spotlight episode. It's True Believers Captain Marvel Binary number 1, True Believers Captain Marvel The New Miss Marvel number 1, and True Believers Captain Marvel Betrayed number 1. So why did I focus on these three True Believers issues? Simply put, they're written by Chris Claremont, all three of these issues. During a particular time period in the 70s and early 80s, Chris Claremont was working with Carol Danvers, or rather, he utilized the character often in her book Miss Marvel, which he was writing. He also utilized the character in Uncanny X-Men a fair amount, particularly during his Brood arc, and one of the True Believers, Captain Marvel Binary number 1, is a reprint of Uncanny X-Men number 164, and also True Believers Captain Marvel Betrayed number 1 is a reprint of Avengers Annual number 10, which is a key issue for X fans because it introduces Mystique's new Brotherhood of Evil Mutants and is the first appearance of Rogue. And I believe the True Believers Captain Marvel, the new Miss Marvel number 1, aka Miss Marvel number 20, is the first appearance of a key X-Men villain, in addition to being a Captain Marvel villain. I really appreciate Marvel doing these True Believers issues. All three of these issues can be found in the Marvel section of previews on pages 42 and 43, and all of them cost $1 each.
All right, this is Alan, Alien-I-121, on the forums back again with my third pick in this month's preview spotlight. This time I am in the Marvel section on page 66, and my pick is Marvel Tales Black Widow number 1, written by George Capitan Stanley, Gary Friedrich, Ralph Macchio, Margaret Stoll, and more. Penciled by Harry Saul, Don Heck, John Romita Sr., John Buscema, George Perez, and Nico Leon. Cover by Jen Bartel. Virgin variant cover by Jen Bartel. Okay, here's the long solicit. Relive exciting espionage adventures alongside the Black Widow and celebrate Marvel's 80th anniversary with the return of Marvel Tales. This anthology series shines a spotlight on fan-favorite characters, features timeless stories, and highlights some of Marvel's most impressive talent from the past 8 decades. Featuring the debut of the Golden Age Black Widow from Mystic Comics, number 4, 1940. The first appearance of the incomparable Natasha Romanoff as a femme fatale targeting Iron Man in Tales of Suspense, number 52, 1959, and the dazzling introduction of Natasha's iconic modern look in Amazing Spider-Man, number 86, from 1963. Plus, criminals everywhere will feel the widow's bite when she goes solo in Amazing Adventures, 1970, number 1, by John Buscema. And Natasha undertakes a super spy mission in Marvel Fanfare 1982, number 10, art by George Perez. And meet an all-new undercover agent in Red Widow, First Strike, number 1. It's a one-shot, 80 pages for $7.99, a little bit high, but I'm thinking about taking a shot at it and Basically, it'll depend on if my order goes over my budget or not. If it goes over, I won't get it. Instead, I'll just settle for Black Widow number 2, which is on the next page. Okay, on to the next pick.
Hey, this is James back with my next pick, and once again, the Marvel supplemental. This is my last Marvel pick, but Marvel got the majority of my love this month because they had the majority of the good stuff, in my opinion. But if we're going to go closer to the rear of the comics section, and I'm looking at page 71 in the Marvel's preview, and I'm looking at Ironheart, number 3, Riri Williams. You're like, Ironheart? Yep, John and I just finished recording Ironheart number 1 on our review. We both really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it so much that I wanted to go and give issue number 3 some love. Riri Williams' Ironheart was a character I kind of had a little bit of disdain for. I did not care for her, just because it was kind of weird, and I wanted Iron Man to be Iron Man, and it seemed like a placeholder. But actually, they developed the character with this new writer, Eve Ewing, a lady who is new to comics, not new to writing, but new to comics, and she came out swinging because she did an amazing job, and it seems like she has read a lot of comics because she wrote it very well. Well enough that I'm giving it a shout out on issue number 3. And so if you guys have not jumped on board, it's probably not too late to get caught up on issues 1, 2, and 3 when this one comes out in February. I'm going to read you a little bit on the solicit. As Ironheart gets deeper into the search for a missing friend, she stumbles into something much bigger than a single kidnapping and something much more dangerous. She may not know it yet, but she faces an ancient power, and it's deadly. So if it sounds like something you would enjoy, she has her own personality. She's no longer a Iron Man ripoff. You want a new, fresh character with a new, fresh writer who actually, seems like it's a decent read. Check this book out. And then on to my next pick.
X-Men Patrick here, and I am still in the Marvel section of the previews. I am looking at page 78 at Wolverine, The Long Night. This is the adaptation of the podcast that they had out, and I've listened to the whole thing. And I am picking this up because I want to put the pictures to the words I was listening on the podcast. It's not what you think. It's not you hear Wolverine running around the whole time. It's actually like a collection of Agent Pierce and Agent Marshall running around looking for Wolverine because they suspect him of killing people. Yeah, it's a really cool podcast if you haven't heard it. But so I'll read this description to you. A rundown cabin in the middle of nowhere. Feral children lurking in the trees. Sinister cult worshipping in a cathedral of night. As Agent Pierce and Marshall continue investigating the killer striking Burns, Alaska, they uncover even more mysteries than they'd bargained for. It stinks that it's another $5 comic book, but maybe I'll get that deal over at Cowabunga. Alright, on to the next one.
Hey, this is James back with another pick that's near and dear to my heart. Once again, in my sword and sandals genre, and we are on page 166 in the Dynamite section, as Dynamite chose to relaunch Red Sonja with a number 1. And unfortunately, Amy Chu is no longer on the book, and I thought Amy Chu was a really good writer. I enjoyed her entire run, so if you guys have not read that and you're a Red Sonja fan, pick it up and trade when it comes out. But the one that I'm going to point out, or the Red Sonja number 1, the reason why I'm pointing it out is they picked a very interesting writer, Mark Russell, artist Mirko Kolak. The reason why I said Mark Russell is interesting is because he does these weird satire, they're funny, he does not seem like a Red Sonja writer. So it got me kind of worried. Maybe he's a Red Sonja fan from his youth. I was like, what in the heck's going on here? Why is Mark Russell, the guy who wrote Flintstones and the Snagglepuss Chronicles, writing this? And we're also, I was talking with Brawlinator on the Slack channel. You know, we're worried about losing our cheesecake. So it looks like this could be an okay series. Some of the covers have gotten a little more risque, which is up our alley, Brawlinator and I, and we're big fans of Red Sonja and Conan, so we were talking about that. The internal art pages by Mirko Kolak look truly amazing. The art in here looks just beautiful. And I wanted to read you a little bit about what Mark Russell says about Red Sonja, For those of you guys who are not getting previews, please order from Cowabunga Comics. If you order $100 worth of stuff, which basically means you're getting $200 worth of stuff most of the time, but you're only paying $100, he will give you a free preview, so you don't have to worry about paying for it. It just comes to you. But let me read to you, for those of you who don't have it, what Mark Russell, the writer, says in here. To me, Sonya is the fantasy genre heir to the great warrior queens of history, like Boudica, Tamiris, and Deborah. And that's what I use to inform my approach to Red Sonya, giving her the same guile, mastery of strategy, and courage that define these figures and their resistance to the most powerful empires in history. The goal being to tell a story that is richly imaginative, but at the same time feels like it could have happened, because in some sense it did. So he's basing her more on these historical characters, and I'm a big history buff, so we shall see. I'm a big Red Sonya fan, so we shall see. But I'm down for usually Red Sonya or Conan. Now he's back at Marvel, so happy. But this one looks like it could be good. I'm a little bit worried, but we shall see. And you guys check it out. I'm pretty sure this is not something that's up our friend's alley. I don't think John's going to want to review this, Red Sonya or Conan, and that's okay. I'll give you my 2 cents when it comes out at the end when we're talking. But if it sounds like it's something you would enjoy, go ahead and check it out. And on to my next pick.
This is Dr. Mo with my next pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Peter Cannon, Thunderbolt, number 2. From Dynamite. Humanity is a crossroads between life and annihilation. The threat comes not from space, but from a place absolutely inconceivable to anyone other than Peter Cannon, Thunderbolt. Only he can take Earth's remaining heroes to confront that which threatens us all. But when he knows so much more than they do, should he? When I first learned about this new Peter Cannon Thunderbolt series, I honestly glossed over it. Part of the reason why I became interested is the writer, Kieran Gillen. I'm a big fan of his series, The Wicked and Divine. He just recently launched a new Image series called Die, which as of this recording, I have not read the first issue of yet, even though I do have it in my reading stack. Kieran Gillen has written a number of superhero series over the years that I've enjoyed. He did a run of on Uncanny X-Men. He did Young Avengers, and he did some Iron Man work. Wasn't quite thrilled with his Iron Man stuff, but you know, you can't win them all. What really started to intrigue me about Peter Cannon is the interviews that Gillen has given on this series through outlets such as Newsarama. And in it, he describes that this is an ensemble. It's clear from the solicitation, this is an ensemble. It's not just about Peter Cannon, which is a really interesting contrast to the DC Comics iteration of this character that I remember reading. I believe it was like the early 90s. I also learned that this is just a 5-issue miniseries. So I can invest in 5 issues. I'm always looking for superhero titles that are outside of the big two to kind of sample and try and see if it will intrigue me. The artwork by Casper Wingard, wasn't too familiar with him. Looked at the preview art for the series. I liked it. Looked around, found some additional comics that he's worked on. He did some Star Wars work with Gillen. He's done an Image series. I like his style. I think it suits the kind of story that Gillen is telling. If you're interested in a non-big two superhero title written by a comic book creator who consistently churns out some really good comics, whether it's fantasy, whether it's sci-fi, whether it's superheroes, I suggest you give this a try. Peter Cannon, Thunderbolt, number 2 can be found on page 183.
Billy Hogan again. My 6th and final pick in this month's previews comes in the back half on page 224 from Abstract Studios with Strangers in Paradise 25 number 10. Writer, cover, and story artist Terry Moore. Using the help of her new friends from Manson, Kachu races cross-country to save Francine and the kids from violent gunmen in their home. Tambi and Sam, a.k.a. Motor Girl, are on the scene, ready for action when they get a helping hand from a brave little girl determined to save her family. Don't miss the stunning conclusion of this story that celebrates the 25th anniversary of Terry Moore's groundbreaking series and ties all of his books together into one epic saga. 24 pages, black and white with a color cover, for $3.99. I've been a fan of Terry Moore's art ever since I jumped on the original Strangers in Paradise series in issue 74. So I was a little late to the game, but ever since then, I've read every issue of every series because he is one of the artists that are on my short list of creators that I will buy whatever they publish. And speaking of which, also available, I'll mention briefly, are Strangers in Paradise Pocket Volume 1, and the entire series is available in a number of formats. There's also Motor Girl Omnibus and a Rachel Rising Omnibus, and on the following page, there's a full-page ad featuring the cover to Strangers in Paradise number 10, so you can get a really good look at it. And if you or someone you know likes a gallery edition of comic book art, which are a little more expensive and out of my price range, there is also a Terry Moore Strangers in Paradise gallery edition. Just to give you a few ideas, if you're doing some Christmas shopping for a friend or family member who is into comic books, and you need a few ideas on what to get them. Back to you, John. Thanks for providing this forum so we can all share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium. And I hope everyone has a happy holiday season and a happy new year. And may many of your gifts be comic book related.
X-Men Patrick here, and now I'm in the what they call the back part of the previews book. I'm in Action Lab Danger Zone, page 230 of the previews. I'm looking at Aberrant Season 2, Number 1. Writer Ryland Grant. Artist and cover artist Davy Leon Diaz. Alright, so it says, Chapter 1, I Need a Hero. As a wholly new and delightfully twisted story arc begins, David is forced to team with the man he hates most and trusts the least to complete a key mission. Disgraced former superhero Lance Cordley wonders if he has one last save the world push left in him. Mature themes. So I wanted to read this just because, again, this is up my alley where superheroes are fallen superheroes. And I figured I'd give, you know, these other artists and other creators a chance since I've only lived in the Marvel world for the longest time. The artists on the covers look pretty good. And if it actually is a pretty good read, I will look for the trade for season one. All right, on to the next one.
It's True with a pick from Aftershock this time. It's Lollipop Kids number 5, written by Adam Glass and Aiden Glass, with art by Diego Yapur, and a cover by Robert Hack. This will be out February 20th, and it's $3.99. This takes place in a world where there are monsters that need fighting, and a young group of kids are the only ones that can see them and do the fighting. So it's kind of fun. I've enjoyed it so far. And I've read like 2 or 3 issues. I don't think I've read the fourth one yet, but just wanted to put this on your radar if you haven't checked it out. It's another quality book from Aftershock, who of course continues to put out quality book after quality book. It's a great little publisher and one to always perk your interest up when they put something out, because it's going to be out on time and it's going to be a high quality creation. So something to check out. Lollipop Kids number 5 from Aftershock.
This is Dr. Mo with another pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's The Wrong Earth number 6 from Ahoy Comics. What can I say? This miniseries has been such a delight. I have submitted clips on previous issues of The Wrong Earth. At the time of this recording, I have read three of the six. Each issue provides additional insight into both Dragonfly Man and Dragonfly, and really does a wonderful job of fleshing out both Earths, There's an interjection of humor, something that I think that a lot of superhero comics aren't necessarily giving you these days. It's not necessarily the intention of the writer to make it a joke factory, but the situations allow for natural humor to take place. Jamal Igel, who is the primary artist on this book, and again, like most Ahoy titles, The Wrong Earth has backup strips, backup features that really gives you a lot for your $3.99. I read recently an article in Bleeding Cool that noted that The Wrong Earth sales figures have been going up over the course of the miniseries. Hopefully this is true. I really think that this is a quality title. You don't have to read 5 other comics in order to understand what's going on in The Wrong Earth. You really can just enjoy this one comic. Again, solid artwork throughout this entire series. I also recently read an interview that artist Jamal Igel gave, in which he did briefly mention that this is season 1 and that season 2 of The Wrong Earth will be coming in the near future. So I'm really glad to hear that. I certainly want more adventures on both of these planets. So if you haven't already picked up The Wrong Earth, I really implore you to give it a shot. The Wrong Earth number 6 can be found in the Ahoy comic section of previews on page 244.
It's Drew with my last pick, and this is Tainted Love from Antarctic Press, written by Arthur Belfield and art by Flavio Silva. This is on my radar because of Rags from Antarctic Press, which I thought was fantastic and really caught me by surprise. So now I'm kind of paying attention to what they're putting out, and this one looked like a pretty good one. It's about a troubled woman who dates supervillains and often calls upon them to help her solve cases as a crisis manager for superhuman millennials. I'm willing to check this out, and it's only a 4-issue miniseries, so I'll sample that first one and see if it's worth continuing. It's in shops February 27th. It's a $3.99 book. Tainted Love, number 1 of 4 from Antarctic Press.
Okay, once again, this is Alan, AlienR121, on the forums with my 4th and final pick in this month's preview spotlight. This time I am in the Archie Comics section. I'm on page 258, and my pick is Archie and Friends Music, number 1. And this is under the Classic Archie imprint. And the solicit reads, Archie and his friends present a collection of quarterly classic style stories sure to be music to your ears. Follow Archie from the record store to the recording studio to the music awards in this collection of stories of musical mishaps and mirthful melodies. Script by Dan Parent, art by Dan Parent, Jim Amash, Bob Smith, Glenn Whitmore, Jack Morelli. It's on sale $2.13. It's 24 pages for $2.99. Yay, $2.99. I just saw this out of, you know, I don't know. As I was scanning down, I just ran into it and I thought, oh, it reminds me of the Archie cartoon show that was on when I was growing up. And I thought I'd check it out. And it's not part of the kind of revitalized new Riverdale-style Archie things, but it's the classic Archie, and I thought I'd like to take a look at that once again, and, you know, without buying a giant or a trade paperback or something like that. So I'm going to check it out. All right, that's all for me this month. Thanks, John, for letting us submit these clips. Thank you, everybody, for submitting a clip, and I hope to hear those and enjoy them. That's all. Thank you.
Hey, John, this is Nick with my final pick for the month from page 258 in the Archie section of the main previews catalog. This is Archie 1000 Page Comics Party. These are written and drawn by all sorts of artists and writers for Archie from across the generations. If you've never read any of these 1000 page comics that they do, they're basically 1000 page Archie digests. So your small format, 5 to 10 page stories, and they really pick some fun ones. You get to follow along with Archie, Betty, Veronica, the whole crew of Riverdale, and in this case, there's over 100 classic stories in this one. So pick it up for $14.99 in February. And with this being my final pick, Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays to everyone. And I guess we'll be back in the new year for the next preview spotlight.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Aspen Comics section on page 259. It's Aspen Comics 2019, The Year Ahead. Now, this sampler issue is only 25 cents, and I think it's a great jumping on point. If you don't know too much about this this comic book company and to see, and to see what they offer. And that's why, I'm going to be picking up this issue just to see what they have to offer. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Aspen Comics 2019, The Year Ahead. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Hey, this is James, J.R. Phoenix, back with my final pick and previews. Yes, not that many picks this month. The February previews traditionally is slim pickings after the holidays, because most of the retailers and us, the pre-orderers, this stuff we're buying in December, and a lot of people have their money spent other places for the holidays. So the whole industry kind of takes a deep breath in February. So this is a great time to check your stack and maybe get some of the fluff out of there and get caught up on trades, because I'm actually going to buy some back issue trades that aren't even being solicited in here. But the one that I'm going to point out to you, it's another single issue, is from Avatar Press. And it's on page 262. I shouted it out last time, but this is Stitched Terror number 2. The writer is Pat Shand, who is a new and upcoming writer, and the artist is Danielle Geet. And Stitched was a series that came out a while back, and it's been relaunched. It's more along the lines of a Crossed, if you know anything about Crossed. So if that's not up your alley, you probably don't want to check this out. But let me read you the solicit and then let you guys decide. The undead horror returns and now unleashed in America in double-sized issues. With her partner dead, Sheriff Cat Noble has to face the unkillable creatures on her own. She stumbled into the makings of the ultimate terror plot, stitched loose in the streets of the USA. And then it goes on to say, Pat Shand and Daniel Geet of Uber make America scared again. So it's a horror thing. There's some blood, there's some guts, there's some cool stuff. So I'm into that stuff. So I'm going to check this out. And once again, I'm going to go and buy some back issue trades. I'm probably going to get caught up on a lot of trades around this February thing. Slimmer times, it's actually a good thing. It allows us to get caught up and allows us to breathe and readjust our pull list to what we really want as you start seeing new stuff coming out. So I hope you guys suggest some good stuff, and I look forward to your January picks, which are not going to be picks. It's going to be, how do you pick stuff in general? How do you organize your collections? And how do you guys, how do you tell a retailer or a comic book artist or writer, how does something make it onto your pull list? I really want to know what makes it onto your pull list, and how does something come off your pull list? I'd like to hear that too. So looking forward to this month, and then also looking forward to January. Have a good one, guys, and enjoy the hobby. Take care. Bye.
This is X-Men Patrick, and I'm looking at the back end of previews, page 342. I am looking at the DC Supervillains, The Joker, an origin story. Writer is Luis Simonson, and the artist is Luciano Vecchio. I probably butchered that name, sorry, buddy. All right, so how did the Joker become Batman's archenemy? Discover the story behind the Clown Prince of Crime journey from small-time crook to big-time baddie. including the source's crazy clown face. With action-packed illustrations and easy-to-follow text, these early reader books are perfect for superhero fans and supervillain fans alike. So for $5, you get 48 pages, and I am not sad to say I do not know the Joker's origin story. I kind of got Lex Luthor's Bizarro Catwoman from movies that I've watched as a kid, but I do not know the Joker's. I have been recently reading The White Knight, which is pretty cool, knowing that Joker, you know, you put a normal face to him now. So I will be reading this story and probably picking up with the other two or three too. And after I'm done, I'll hand it to my kid and act like nothing happened. Shh, don't tell anybody. All right, on to the next one. This is X-Men Patrick, and I am in my last pick of the previews, page 357, Incursion number 1 through 4, pre-order edition bundle. I know someone else is picking Incursion to talk to you guys about, so I'll save you the second mumble jumble and just go right to the pre-order bundle. I'm looking to pick this up because if I get one, I might as well get them all. And with this bundle, you get extra stuff. It comes with packed with the trade paperback style extras and bonus content, including creator commentary, behind the scenes looks at creation of the comics, process, character, designs, and artwork. First looks at the upcoming issues, plus exclusive covers by a host of amazing artists, beginning with Tunti Zanjic, I don't know who that is, that can't be found anywhere else. So I saw this with Bloodshot probably a month or two ago. You get to order all of them, and they give you extra stuff. So I did not order that, and now I'm kind of kicking myself because Bloodshot looks pretty cool. But so I'm going to get Incursion because I love the old Dark Age battle axes and swords and stuff, because that's how I was raised with D&D, as you heard before. So thank you guys for this chance to air out the things I want to grab, and I can't wait to listen to this to hear my own voice for the first time and hear what you guys picked. Thank you guys. Merry Christmas.
Hey guys, this is Jason from Hawaii. I just want to take a second to talk about the Hero Initiative. Now, the Hero Initiative is basically an organization that helps provide financial support to comic book creators that are facing emergency medical situations or emergency financial situations. They just need, you know, some money to help them with just the basic needs to either, you know, help pay for their medical bills or maybe provide, you know, a month or two of rent to keep a roof over their heads until they get back on their feet. For me, I'm going to be donating, you know, some money to this worthy cause. I'm just encouraging, you know, to the listeners, if you guys get a chance, you know, to donate to this worthy cause, you know, again, it's to help the comic book creators, that, you know, may fall on hard times, just, you know, and they may need a little bit of help. And it's just, for me, it's just to give back, to these creators, you know, to help them, because, you know, they provide so much entertainment for us. And I just thought it'd be nice to just to give back and to help them out. If you guys are interested in donating money, you can check out the website heroinitiative.org. Again, that's heroinitiative.org. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John. Hey guys, this is Jason from Hawaii. Now, I know this clip is titled Marvel Unlimited. I'm not going to go into details what the Marvel Unlimited, you know, is. Basically, if you guys let me indulge for a minute, basically, starting in January, I'm going to start subscribing to the Marvel Unlimited, you know, for a number of reasons. One is to, try to, you know, cut down on my, comic book budget. So, you know, basically, you know, real quickly in a nutshell, you know, I mean, the subscription fee is pretty good. It's very good, I think. I'm going to go for the annual fee of $69 per year. And if it's broken down monthly, it's like $5.83 per month. So, and that's a pretty good deal. But I'm also going to make it clear that I'm still going to be picking up some of the monthly issues, like, you know, some of the favorites like Amazing Spider-Man, The Fantastic Four, Immortal Hulk, and so forth. So again, I'm just trying to, you know, cut back on my comic book budget, and also too, space-wise too. You know, I think this would free up some of my space in my house. So I'm just letting you guys know I'm going to be subscribing to the Marvel Unlimited. If you guys are thinking about, you know, subscribing to the Marvel Unlimited, you know, due to, you know, whether it's a financial thing or space-wise or time-wise thing, you know, this is a, you know, this is, you know, a pretty good way to go. I'm just going to go quickly over the financial breakdown. You know, Marvel Unlimited per subscription per month is $9.99. Just a regular annual subscription fee is $69 per year. Again, the monthly breakdown is $5.83. Or you could go for the annual plus, which is $99. Now, the monthly breakdown to that is $8.25. And also you get some exclusive things, you know, in the annual plus. So, you know, again, if you guys are considering, you know, cutting back on, you know, your comic book budget, space wise, I would recommend the Marvel Unlimited. I have used this, in the past. It's really good. Especially, you know, if I want to read older titles, like I remember I was starting to read the Defender series that was started back in the 70s. So again, if you guys are interested, you know, subscribe to the Marvel Unlimited. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John. Hey guys, this is Jason from Hawaii. Hey, I'm just doing my shout out clip for last month's preview spotlight episode. And last month's preview spotlight episode had some great clips. First off, I want to welcome Bronze Age Paul. Bronze Age Paul, welcome to the preview spotlight episodes. I look forward to hearing more of your clips in future episodes. I want to give two shout-outs. One to Billy Hogan. Billy, thank you for recommending Superman Super Spectacular Comic. Now, that's something I'm going to pick up when it comes out at Dragon's Lairs in, I guess, over the next couple months. And also, my final shout-out goes to Brawlinator. Brawlinator, thank you very much for pointing out the Conan True Believers. You know, I almost missed that. So, when that comes out, I'm definitely going to be picking up a number of those on True Believers. So, you know, Billy and Brawlinator, thank you very much for your recommendations. You know, to everyone, you know, I look forward to hearing to your recommendations for this month's preview spotlight. And also, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas or a Mele Kalikimaka, and also a Happy New Year or a Haole Makahiki Ho. Until next time, guys, aloha.
I hope this episode was helpful for everybody to either find stuff to put on their list or find stuff to take off their list, depending if they're growing or shrinking their list, or at least find stuff they're happy with reading. That's really the bottom line. I want to thank our contributors of Alan, Billy, Drew, James, Jason, Mo, Nick, Patrick, and Todd. Thanks for sending stuff in. The episode would be a lot shorter without you guys. And speaking of shorter, my reading list is a lot shorter than it was when I recorded this part last month. After recording that, before sending in my order, I made a couple of decisions on cutting back. My order last time was probably about half what I thought it was going to be. Right now, my order is shaping up to be around 76 items, all said and done, with a few things still on the fence, but really not that many items, to be honest. I've basically been doing the math, figuring out how much I can read, and I was getting, as you guys well know, I was getting more than I could read. I've been talking pretty much all year about how far behind I am. So my goal is to read, to buy less, read more, and stay current. So at this point, I'm getting, I think, two items from Image, one of which is a final issue, nothing from Dark Horse, 33 items from DC, 4 from IDW, 29 from Marvel, let's see, 2 from Dynamite, update that stat, so it's actually 78 items total, 3 from Boom, and really only 5 items from the back half of Previews, only 2 of which are comics. I'm actually going to be picking up back issue number 111 on alternate realities and stuff. That looks pretty cool. And then getting one or two things from Eagle Moss, the shuttlecraft set for the Star Trek ships, and the Doctor Who TARDIS consoles look kind of cool. So I'll be getting that. Although it's funny because I think if I were to take that Star Trek ships shuttlecrafts off the list, that would drop my total quite a bit. around $215, $220, but with it, it's closer to $285, $290 as an estimated discounted total. I haven't put this into the Cowabunga order form just yet. And obviously, this is well under the 200-plus comics I'd been getting for the last, you know, geez, however long. And I'm good with that, but it means I may have room to add things on my list, which is not a bad thing. And there may be things that I've cut that I decide, you know what, that was a mistake. Let me fill those gaps and get back on board those titles. And there are a few of these titles that I'm letting play out the current storyline and then dropping. So we'll see what happens. It's just a matter of change for me to find stuff that's working better for me and able to stay current on the reading. So if you guys have thoughts on that, things that I definitely ought to be pre-ordering so James and I can review, by all means, let me know. Of the two things James commented on during his clips, yeah, I'm not getting Savage Sword of Conan, but I am getting, of course, that Avengers No Road Home, so we'll probably do that first issue as a review item, depending what else comes out for Marvel, but it's certainly high on the list. And if you guys have thoughts as to what we should review, by all means, chime in, let us know. We pick stuff 2 weeks before we record. So basically, as the Diamond shipping list comes out for 2 weeks out, we take a look at it and pick from there. Now, coming up, we've got the Comic Book Page teleconference on Saturday, December 15th. That's this coming Saturday as the episode is released. It's 7 p.m. Central Time. We do it on Skype. There's instructions on the forum as to how to get on. Basically, I sit at my computer at that point, and if somebody says, hey, you know, has the call started, I'll start the call, we'll talk with them, and as other people come in, we'll join them in, we'll talk, people go as they need to. It's a lot of fun. The conversation is based on whatever people want to talk about. The next preview spotlight is going to get released around Wednesday, December 26th. I say around because that's kind of sort of a skip week, and some retailers may release it at that point. They may release it later. It really depends. That's the 1 week of the year, particularly when the holiday winds up being like the day on before or after the shipping release and stuff. It's a little chaotic. Anyways, it's going to be a small shipping week. I'm thinking I may only get about 10 items, and that's before the cuts. We're going to have a different format for that preview spotlight because I'm traveling in January, and between previews being delayed and me traveling and just a lot of other stuff going on for me in January. What we're doing is basically a single clip per person describing kind of how do you pick what you get. You know, what gets something on your pull list? What makes you do a pick for the preview spotlight? What gets something off your pull list? What peculiarities of your reading habits are there that if creators and publishers knew, they'd be able to get stuff either more on or off your list? Is your limiting factor time, money, interest, space? Do you have a limiting factor? Can you get whatever you want and just let it accumulate? That's cool if you can. That's a lot of what I'd been doing. It's accumulated a lot. But in a nutshell, how do you kind of define what you read and why? I'll be honest, this is something that I am currently kind of struggling with and trying to articulate for myself and having a hard time with. So that's the topic essentially for that preview spotlight. The deadline is the end of the year. That means by Tuesday morning, January 1st, 2019, I need to have the clip so I can start putting that episode together. That is also the deadline for the yearly comic spotlight. For your picks for your favorites of the year and such. We've got a thread on the forum. All you've got to do is copy the first post that I put up there of the topics, and in between the square brackets, you know, put your picks in and do that as your post, and we're good. I'm looking forward to what people thought were the highlights of the year. That also influences what I do and don't get. There have been a couple of titles that got on my list that way. Scooby-Doo Team-Up's a great example of that. And I love hearing what's working for people, where the listener interest is and such. Now, there's not going to be a Comic Book Page teleconference in January because it's a crazy busy month for me, but we will have one again in February. Currently, that's scheduled to be around probably Saturday, February 16th of 2019. So I'll be talking more about that on the weekly comic spotlight and stuff as we get nearer to that time frame. So like I said, hopefully everybody found stuff they're interested in. For me, I'm at the point of kind of doing some spring cleaning or whatnot on my pull list and just trimming it down to a more reasonable level so I can then kind of let it expand a little bit again. But trying to get it to where it's something that I can easily sustain the reading on, whereas I've failed to do that entirely this year. So, like I said, hopefully this episode was helpful for everybody. Once again, I want to thank everybody for contributing. I know it's a busy time of year. Not everybody is able to, but do it when you can, as often as you can. It's great to have new voices like Patrick's this time around. This kind of listener participation and feedback, both on this episode, the yearly comic spotlight, and just on the Slack channel and stuff like that, is really what keeps the podcast going. Because as I'm struggling for, you know, time to do other projects and keep up with my reading, you know, the fact that I spend a lot of time doing the podcast is not lost on me, but when I get the feedback, it's worth doing it, and that's what keeps the podcast going. So with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.